You have your Bibles, hopefully you do, Acts chapter 7. I'll tell you what, I said Acts chapter 7, we was reading that in discipleship a minute ago. Turn to Acts chapter 28, 27, right in around there. I'm wanting that Paul's shipwreck, and there's some things we want to look at there tonight. I will eventually get to, and I was wondering, normally I have a sure text, but we will be over here in a few minutes. I want to read this and pray and then get into the message tonight. Acts chapter 20, 27 verses 40, and we'll read into chapter 28, 1 through 5. And we'll look at something here that the Lord has laid on my heart and hopefully be a blessing to you tonight. Always a challenge. Always look forward to preaching or teaching, whatever's pastor's wanting. Look forward to filling the pulpit and humbled by it. And so just happy to be here, be serving in this church. Acts chapter 27, not 7, but Acts chapter 27. Read with me verse number 40. I'm in chapter 27, verse 40. It says, "And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken within the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim, cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Verse 44, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. In verse 1 of chapter 28, it says, and when they were escaped, then they that knew the islands was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And verse 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm, and so on and so forth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and we ask this tonight again that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, be with my words and, Father, your word as it goes into your people. And, Father, I pray that our hearts would be attentive to your word and the Holy Spirit's wooing and teaching and instructing. Be with those that have come. Father, there possibly is one here, could be one here tonight that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. Father, our goal, our desire, our aim is to see the Holy Spirit convict them, and Father, that they would come to a saving knowledge of you. Now, Father, be again with your word and the prayer petition we brought up before you earlier, but just for these few moments, be with my lips, use me as a vessel fit for your use. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in Acts 28, 27 and 28, we read of an account. I don't have time to develop the whole story. It's fascinating truth about Paul headed actually to Rome. He was going to Rome, but they run into some trouble, and they had thought, if you read back, and I just, for time's sake, they thought they were going to be lost or killed, every one of them. And Paul begins to pray, and God reveals to him that they are not going to die. If they remain in the ship, and they weren't going to die. I think I have here 276 souls, I believe, on this vessel, 276 souls, and so you see quite a few of these people, they make it to land to this island of Melita. And what I want to preach on tonight, a fire to kindle and challenge you a little bit here. But I want to start not only in Acts, that's where we're going to spring from, but take your Bible, turns to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, as we unfold this, I'll try to make some sense. It's kind of like you want to go two different ways, but yet you want the roads to meet and make sense as we move forward. I think with the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll get that accomplished hopefully tonight. John chapter 7, turn to John chapter 7. I got a lot of sevens here tonight. John chapter 7, verse 17. I want to say, number one, on a fire to kindle in your heart and in your mind and in your life as a Christian, dealing with the context of being saved, knowing God, that you're in a battle, you're in a warfare, and there's going to be times when we preach and talk about it, teach about it, that you're going to go through some rough times in your life, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, whether it's relation, or just having good old-fashioned sin unconfessed in your life. There's things that need to be gotten right, some principles that need to be held to from the Word of God. That's what we want to deal with tonight, being able to kindle your fire. God can start the fire, but it's our obligation to keep it kindled, keep it going for God. And it's like that burden. I heard a song, I believe Brother Barnett, I'll get his name right here, Brother Cole, wrote it. It's called "To Bring Back the Burden." He had a song they had written. It speaks of bringing back that burden. Sometimes God gives us a burden, but it wanes thin. It's like a candle kind of dims down in our life, and we're just not, it's not at the forefront of what we want to do. Something God's laid on our heart, maybe a plan or a will of God, and the years go by, we kind of get dwindled down. We get caught up in this life. Things get you down. Satan's sure there. I know that. The world's sure there to do that, and your stinking and my stinking flesh is sure there to do that. And so it drags you down, but you're going to have to be able to rekindle your fire, keep the fire going that God has started in you. And so it's going to take some digging down, if you please, some grit. So I don't have grit. Well, you need to get some if you're a Christian, because it's going to take some grit to stay with it. And I know most of us here tonight are older than I am. I understand that. A younger guy looking at it, and of course I'm going to have be more gung-ho, but it's going to take some grit to get to the other end. And so that's what we want to look at tonight. How do we do that, and what do we put on this fire to keep it going? Number one, we see, I'm going to say, a commitment to do His will, to do God's will. You're going to need a commitment in your heart, in your mind, and in your life to be committed to God's will. John chapter 7, verse 17, let's read that verse and we'll get into this. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Here this verse is speaking of the ideal that a man must determine to do the will of God. In other words, before God has an obligation to reveal His will to you or I have an obligation to submit to it whether I know it or not. And a lot of times Christians, in this culture we live in the world, good old US of A, as it slips away from godly things, you're going to find that people want to see the whole plan before they're fully committed. Well, it doesn't work that way in the age or in the spiritual world of faith in the Word of God. Sometimes God reveals it. Sometimes you know it exactly what's going to happen. Other times you might not. You say, what do I do then? You step out with faith, God-given faith. And so we must understand there will be times, there will be things, circumstances in our life that will arise that will be such the case. You won't have all the answers. You won't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so a lot of the time we need an obligation to submit to it, even while not knowing what it is. You're going to still have to be willing to step out and submit to it. God doesn't have the responsibility to tell you or I His will, or the case that we might examine it and feel it or touch it or work with it before we actually commit to it. So God here is dealing with, listen, this is from me, this is my will, and this is what I want for your life. So you're going to need some commitment to do His will when you don't quite know all the will of God for your life. Listen, the Bible says the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. He didn't lighten all the path up, 5 or 6 miles ahead of you. He's lighting up the path that you step one step further. And that's hard because you have to be attentive. That's hard because you can't go to sleep in that circumstance. If you do, you might fall off the cliff. You might fall by the wayside and Satan devour you. So you're going to need, number one, a commitment to do God's will. First of all, a commitment to do God's will. Secondly, we see, and I just quoted, the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You're going to need some consistency in the word. You're going to need some consistency in the Word. You're going to need to be able to read God's Word daily. You're going to need to be able to study God's Word and take it in. You need to be able to spiritually feed and also to wash and to bathe yourself, spiritually speaking, with the Word of God. Comfortable with the Word of God. It's going to be a daily intake. You're in a battle. You and I are in a battle that's not a weekly thing. It's not a monthly subscription. It's a daily battle that starts with the mind and heart. And so God knows this. The Holy Spirit knows this. The Word of God was set up to give us these weapons to combat Satan, our enemy. It's going to start in the mind, in the head, in the heart. And so we're going to need some consistency, secondly, in the Word of God. Most of the decisions that you and I need to make in our life are given to us in the Word of God. For instance, the Bible tells me how I should treat my spouse. If you're saved, it tells you how to treat your spouse. Or how to raise my children. If you have children, it teaches you how to do that. Or how I should deal with my enemies. It teaches us how to deal with that. A lot of times we don't like to listen or to read that part, but it tells us. Or how I should handle my money or anything else that deals or is a part of your life. That's why when you get saved, listen, things begin to look different, should look different to you. I know there's a learning curve. There's time for growth. Sometimes it takes longer than others, but there's always should be some growth or desire from God, from the things of God. And here we're saying to kindle this fire, to keep going forward, you're going to need some consistency, not only a commitment, but you're going to need some consistency in your life. Thirdly, we're going to look at counsel from wise men. This is an area that a lot of times stubborn people, hard-headed people, or one-directional type of a Christian is going to have struggle here is counsel from wise men. The Bible says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, it says, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. So these verses don't teach that we should run from people who are willing to give us counsel, whether it agrees with our way of thinking or it doesn't. A lot of times we search high and low for somebody who agrees with us, and then we go with that counsel because it agrees with us. But oftentimes you might find sound counsel, good godly counsel, that goes against our thinking or our thought patterns. And so we need to seek wise counsel from godly men, godly people. And fourthly, conviction from within. I'm moving fastly through these because I want to get to the heart of this message, but conviction from within. You need a conviction within yourself. And I know in speaking, spiritually speaking, it sounds good, it sounds tough, and then you get the phone call, or you get the doctor's visit, or you get the announcement of something, or something begins to break or fall apart, and in multiple ways, not just one way, that you can fix it in a couple minutes, but your whole world can unravel quickly, very quickly. And I'm thinking of Job, over there in Job, man, everything kind of fell apart real quick for Job. But you're going to need some conviction down inside of you that will keep you going, that you pull from, that you draw from to keep this fire kindled in your heart. This burden that God gives you to be a child of God, a saved child of God, and trying to work in ministry or working in ministry or looking to work in ministry. But you're going to need some conviction. The Bible says in Colossians, turn over there with me to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at this verse real quickly. Colossians chapter 3. I have this new Bible here. Let's see if we can get this thing to work for us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And so we see here the word rule here. It implies like an umpire, something that rules, that actually has the final say, and it's speaking of the peace of God. So it's very important to note that this verse must only be applied after the first three points that we looked at have been done. And so the conviction, you're going to have much conviction without good counseling in your life. How about consistency? You're not going to have much of a conviction if you don't have any consistency, especially found in the Word of God. The Bible says you can be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and you're going to need some commitment. And so we're speaking of a fire to kindle. You say, why would I want to kindle the fire? Listen, if you don't move forward, we will be devoured by our enemy. There's never ground where you're treading. You're either going backwards or you're moving forwards. And so I want to challenge you to move forward. You say, how do I do that? You're going to need some commitment, some conviction. Now let's get into something that will rob the flame or the fire from this burden that you have that you should kindle. You have the devil. You have the devil that will rob that fire or that flame from your burden to do what's right, to continue in the ministry when you're struck from behind. Or I was thinking of Brother Mike Collingwood, a pastor in Pennsylvania, one of Dad's friends. He was always quick to say something, and he was talking about not being able to sleep on his back. And I remember asking him, is he not being able to sleep? What's wrong with your back? He said, I've been stabbed in the back so many times by brethren and sisters, I can't sleep on my back. Sometimes that happens. That's where the ministry begins to push you. That's the way your mindset begins to think. And you think, you be thinking like Elijah, where I'm the only one that hasn't bowed the knee. And we don't want to get there, but Satan will have you think that. He would love nothing more than to have that run into your mind or mess you up. The job, this world, I understand we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have jobs to pay our bills and get about our business, but our job can rob you of the flame or this fire that we should keep kindled. The job that you work, you and I work. The TV will take your time. I'm going to just mention some basic things here. The TV will rob you of the flame or desire to serve God or to read your Bible or to study your Bible or to go witnessing. The TV does that. I like the TV. That's why I don't have one hooked up. We watch the movies here and there, but man, if you struggle with it, you've got to watch your time that you spend in front of it. The world. Simply the world, the things of the world, the allurement, the desires, the things that we get connected and tied into and committed to other than the things of God, the world will do that. And God, the devil will make sure that you're tied in pretty good. And then your flesh, my flesh. Our flesh we battle daily. One of the biggest enemies that you and I have is our flesh. It just does not want to do the things that it should. Rather, it does the things that it shouldn't do. And Paul even says, oh, wretched man that I am. He realized that there was two parts to him. And the one part that he wanted to crucify with Christ, the flesh, it would rise back up and want to do the things it shouldn't do. So the flesh will devour the flame in your fire, your in your life, that God gives you your burden, if you please. So you say, so what do we put on this fire? Well, I was thinking back there in Acts. This is not original thoughts, but back there in Acts chapter 28, and it says there that in verse 1, if you go back there in Acts chapter 28, it says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. No, I'm not going to preach really on the viper that come out and bit him. I was telling Pastor what I was working on tonight. He says, yeah, it was always the preacher that got bit by the snake. He was going on about that. But we're going to look at the sticks that Paul gathered, the bundle of sticks that he put on this fire. And there's some sticks that I thought about in my life that keeps me going forward. You're going to need some sticks. You're going to need something that kindles a fire, not only consistency of the willpower or conviction, but you're going to need some sticks you're going to have to pick up in your life that you're going to have to put on this flame that has been started. The flame will go down if you don't tend to it. If you don't tend to it, it'll burn out. It'll definitely burn out. Number one, I think of my salvation. I go back to 1982 right down in Lawrenceburg in a tent revival meeting. I was a young man, and there was a man preaching there that night, Brother Bruce McDowell, on hell. And the classic preaching on hell, if you've ever heard Brother Bruce McDowell preach in the 70s, you'll know exactly how it was that night. And I got under conviction because, number one, I realized that night that I was a sinner. Now, I hadn't murdered nobody. Not yet. Still haven't. I hadn't robbed any banks. But I had stolen. I had lied to my parents. There was a lot of stuff that I had done at that age at 5 years old. And I knew then that if I died then, that I would go to hell. I would not go to heaven. Even though both my parents were saved. I think my brother was saved. I don't know if my sister was saved at the time. And so I went forward in the invitation and asked Jesus Christ to save me. He saved me. But I go back to that point. I go back to that. That's the stick that I pick up and put on this fire. I'm, according to Scripture, not going to hell. I'll never smell hell, touch hell, see hell. But there are a lot of people out there that are going to go to hell if they don't hear about Christ. And so to keep this fire going in your life, this desire, this burden for God, you're going to need some sticks. The first one I thought of was my salvation. The second one we find here is somebody needs saved. What about quitting on God who saved your soul and not saying anything else about it? It's kind of like a beggar. I've heard this, a beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. What about never reaching somebody, never talking to anybody about what happened to your soul or your life? You're not going to hell. If you're saved here tonight, you're not going to see hell. You're not going to experience that. But there are people out there that are going to experience that if they don't hear about Christ. And listen, they're an arm reach away. They're an ear shot. They're an eye shot. But they'll never get saved if we don't tell them. If we don't go to them. I understand there's plenty of more people out there in the USA that don't want nothing to do with our God, don't want nothing to do with the cross, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but there are some that will listen. There are some that you can get a seed planted and the Holy Spirit will go to work on them. So second, the second stick I look at for this fire to kindle and to keep this fire hot is somebody needs to be saved. Even in America, in our land where you think they hear preaching every day, the way the media puts it, or teaching and preaching every day, but it's not that way. I believe there's more than one generation out there that knows nothing about our God, and they need to be reached with the Word of God. And then we move on, looking at sticks to pick up to keep this fire and this flame going in our hearts, is others are watching. There's others watching. Your enemies and my enemies are watching what you do. They're watching. That's another stick that I pick up and I put on this fire is our enemies are watching. Your friends are watching. The friends that you have, they want to know what you're going to do. They want to know if you're going to stick by the stuff. Now, if you don't have any conviction, if you don't have any commitment, there's a good possibility that they'll get to watch you fall by the wayside. I don't want my enemies to see that. I don't know if you would call it pride. I don't want to see Satan get the glory of something that I've boggled or messed up in my life and become a castaway, the Bible says. So your enemies and your friends are watching and your family is watching. A lot of us have family that are not saved that we're trying to reach, that we're trying to be a witness and a testimony to. Well, if they watch you, and they are, by the way, and they watch you fall by the wayside, that doesn't speak highly of the Lord God you serve, or you say you serve. And so we see that the stick of others are watching. You need to put that on your fire to keep that fire, that flame burning in your burden that God's given you because you're saved. And so if you're thinking of quitting, this is not a good time to say quitting. You need to be quitting. You need to be kicking it up a notch. And moving forward for God. Lastly, this fourth stick here, looking at this fire, and Paul had gathered this bundle of sticks and he laid it on the flame there, the fire, is we're not done yet. We're not done yet. God hasn't come, and I hadn't heard no trumpet. I haven't heard anything sound. I'm still here. So we're not done yet. We need to keep moving forward. My course isn't finished yet. Your course isn't finished yet. One day I might preach my last sermon. You might preach your last sermon. You might sing your last song. You might teach your last class. Or a day you might attend your last church service. But we're not there yet. That's another stick you can pick up and put on this fire to keep you moving forward. It's not a time to quit. It's a time to keep moving forward. You say, but it's hard. We're being shot. It seems so hard. I understand it's hard. It's hard. But one of the things you want to keep doing is you're going to have to pull from within. You're going to need some conviction, some commitment to pull from. It's kind of like trying to do it halfway or fake your way through something. Well, if you're doing that in the Christian life, you're not going to get far. It's not going to get you too far in this life or in this Christian warfare that we're in. So listen, these sticks that we picked up, how about your testimony tonight? You have a testimony if you're saved in here. You were the one there. You were the one present, and you can testify to what God did to you and for you when you got saved. How about somebody needs to be saved? Do you have a burden for your neighbor? I look at my neighbors around me. I really, I'm the kind of person, I'm happy to be by myself, hopefully never come over, but every once in a while they come over. That's an opportunity, and I bite my lip, and I put a smile on my face, and I thought, man, put the flesh down, screw it down, and be nice to your neighbor, or just the person maybe you're eating to, or the person you got to work next to. Oh, my goodness, some people you work for, you think, man, I'm not going to say nothing. This guy, I know where this guy's going. No, you have to share the gospel with them. So there's people out there that need to be saved, and then those that are watching, understand that people do watch, and they want to know what you're going to do with this Christ you say you believe in, and worship and serve. And then lastly, we're not done, we're not finished yet, we're looking for the appearing of our Lord and Savior, and for the trumpet to sound, and we're not there yet. Listen, keep picking up sticks and putting them on the fire of conviction. For the fire is our responsibility. God starts it, but we need to be able and willing to kindle it and keep it moving for you. Tonight, hopefully that's spoken to you. Let's all stand. I don't know where you're at. You might be high in cotton tonight. I don't know. You might be in the weeds. You might be in the midst of a storm. You might have maybe reached a place in your life that you don't want nothing to do with ministry. You're done. For all practical purposes, you're out. Well, tonight to encourage you, the trumpet hasn't sounded. We're not done yet. Keep moving forward. Keep your head down and keep crawling forward, because God has chosen people to minister to people. I remember a message we'd preached: God's way is people, God's work is people, and God's will is people. And so, for the sake of what the Bible says, and for the sake of self, and for the sake of the world and Satan, your enemy, you can put that aside for a few moments and remember the burden that God had given you and placed in your life. You're going to have to keep it kindling. You're going to have to keep it going and keep it burning. It's worth it. The Bible says it's worth it. When you stand before God, He can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So encourage yourself in the Lord, in the Word. Stick by it. It's going to be worth it one day. Brother Jeff.
276. 276.